Subject, the trial of the century. What we've done here this weekend, and you saw a while ago, we're putting Hollywood on trial. We're putting the entertainment industry on trial. I'm representing the good guys here tonight. And we'll make some charges against the entertainment industry. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, of his devices. Look here. We are not ignorant of his devices. Now, we denounce the film industry tonight for throwing the code of ethics out the window for a paycheck. We arrest Hollywood tonight for being the largest porn producer in America, Los Angeles. 80% comes out of Hollywood. We detest Hollywood tonight for blasphemy and the taking of the name of God in vain hundreds of times daily on the networks. We are appalled at Hollywood tonight for the constant stereotyping of Christians, making them look like idiots and nerds from the last century. We're being lied to. Tonight we're going to put the entertainment world on trial and show that it's not just entertainment, it's not just a movie, it's anti-moral, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-church, and anti-home. Music today is more than just entertainment. It is preaching a message. They are the prophets and town criers of a modern culture. The charges that we make is that they have filled the land with violence, bringing our morals to an all-time low. Now tonight, I'm going to talk to you about several things in the entertainment industry and briefly give you some statistics and facts. You listen real carefully. Last night, we talked about movies. I'm going to mention that again in just a moment. But I'm going to talk just first of all about TV. TV in general. The charges, kids get 30 hours a week of entertainment pumped into their head and learn less than 1 hour a week from their fathers. TV has cast a spell on the living, turning them into silent statues, robbing them of family time, prayer time, Bible time, fun time. People can't even talk around the house no more because of the television. The message of television is fivefold. Now, they'll not tell you this. It's subtly woven in to the shows. The message is, number one, have sex as much and often as you want, when you want, with whom you want, just as long as you're not married. Marriage ruins it. Hardly ever is marriage portrayed in a good light. As soon as a couple gets married, romance and love dies on television. Second charge, human life is no big deal. Murder, abortion are the normal ways to get rid of anybody who you don't like or in your way. Thirdly, drug use is normal, fine, fun, and everybody drinks alcohol. Fourthly, Christians are backward idiots who don't know what's really going on in this world. Fifthly, religion is okay if kept completely private, never discussed, or become a part of your lifestyle. So I have to be religious, just don't ever mention it. It's a sin to mention religion or God or prayer in public. L.A. says the city of angels. Los Angeles, the city of angels. Fallen ones, I'll add. And the stars, wandering stars, to whom the midst of blackness is reserved forever and ever. Let's take a peek at the average week. Just pick out one week a few months back on prime time television as introduction this evening, and I'll tell you what's going on. Let's take NBC, the three major networks. First one, NBC. A few months back, the Drew Carey Show talks about a nun becoming pregnant, has heavy petting between people who are not married, and teaches young people to lie about playing in a baseball game. Ellen, September the 21st, shows graphic blood scenes. Dr. Benton, one of the stars of the show, having fornication and adultery with a married woman. NBC show called Friends, September the 22nd. This is all in one, just a week or two. Rachel has casual sex with a friend, a former regular. Monica brags of her sexual encounters. Joey brags about his sexual endeavors. Chandler tells of being fondled by someone. All on one program. A show on October 31st, Seinfeld or something like that, portrays homosexuality in a good light, and they bet on who can go the longest without masturbation. Friends, October the 12th, again has a homosexual theme. The gang discusses when Ross and his new girlfriend are finally going to live like the devil and go to bed together. Let's look at ABC, Grace Under Fire, September the 6th. Grace is frustrated because she's been dating a man for 2 months and they haven't been to bed yet, and she just cannot figure out what's wrong with that guy. And they say the whole message of the show was that you are abnormal if you disagree with the message of that television show. Hudson Street on August the 9th, or September the 26th rather, is nothing but sex jokes. October the 3rd, ridiculing the fool who abstains from sex. NYPD Blue is over and over and over and over, showing the most filthy, suggestive thing that a human being can imagine. Jeff Foxworthy on the 12th day of August, or September, gets his thrills from his partner Russ's sex stories, jokes about incest and alcohol abuse. You say, that's funny. If you knew all these little boys and girls who have been abused and committed incest with, you wouldn't like and stuff like that. We got bus kids, brother. I don't think it's a bit funny to laugh about incest. Roseanne has the lesbian themes in it, of course. And they like, listen, if you think something's funny about two women sticking their tongues in each other's mouth, you may be a pervert yourself. Now you listen to me tonight. We are being attacked. We are being bombarded. We are being, listen, I know there's already some people here this week made up their mind when they go home, they're going to shut that stupid thing off except for something wholesome here. Some of you people getting your mind filled with so much trash that it's no wonder God can't bless you. You can't get your prayers answered. You can't get anything from God. You can't get up. You sat right here tonight, never shed a tear, never got a blessing. You're numb because of that television set. You know it's the truth, too. You know it's the truth. You say, it don't bother me. That's what every drug addict says about drugs. It don't bother him. That's what every alcoholic says. Something ain't wrong because it bothers you. Something's wrong because God said it was wrong. Not to mention Misery Loves Company, The Simpsons, Ned and Stacy, Partners, and the other Seinfeld movie or sitcom, who set a record recently for having 33 cuss words in a 20-minute show. CBS, Picket Fences, September the 1st. A massage therapist, George, is perverting all of his patients and messing around with them committing adultery. One of his patients, Marcia, Husband finds out about it. Marcia winds up murdering both of them. That's good stuff for a Christian to be feeding their mind on. Pursuit of happiness. Sisters, and on and on and on and on. You don't have to have hell's box office and sin to the max and show slime in order to get your mind polluted. I may charge some of you men here tonight to take charge in your home and set your foot down. Hey, it's pretty bad when the poor woman of the house is trying to clean the act up and the man's so backslid he wants to watch everything comes on there and the woman's the only one trying to keep it decent. That's pretty bad, people. Pretty bad when young people come in and say, Daddy and Mama, we ought not to be watching that. And they say, shut up. You quit trying to be holier than thou. You go to your room. We'll watch what you want to. It's pretty bad when it's like that, ain't it? Movies destroyed the mind of Ted Bundy, the serial sex killer, who just a few hours before his death told that the most damaging kind of pornography involves sexual violence. He said the movies that'll mess you up the worst is anything that involves sex and murder in the same movie. He said it'll mess your mind up. It'll give you an appetite for things that God never intended for you to have an appetite for. You'll never be happy in marriage. Listen, you know what? Listen, men. Listen to me. You ladies need to hear this. There is no way that a wife can compare to those beauties. I mean, you take that old whore watch show, that old whore watch. Look up here now. I'll tell you when it's time to pray. Whore watch. You know where they wear them orange bathing suits all over the place? It don't matter if it's 30 degrees, they wear them orange bathing suits. Boy, y'all are getting quiet now. You bunch of hypocrites. You say, well, Brother Danny, don't your church get mad at you? I thought they can get mad at me and throw me out. I'll go across the road and start another church and steal all their members. Amen. Hey, the truth's the truth. If it hurt, it's your grandma. And I'm telling you, you say, well, old Pam's pretty. Old plastic Pam? Old plastic pervert Pam? How do you know she's pretty? You ain't never seen her. They ain't no telling what she really looks like. Them people are half, I don't know what they're made out of. Like that one fella, his wife wore so much makeup and had so much fake stuff all over. His wife died. He got to looking around the house and found enough stuff to make him a nothing. It's Sunday, March 5th, 1995. 15-year-old Jason Lewis grabs a 12-gauge shotgun, walks into a living room because he's mad about his mom and dad making him come home at 11 o'clock. He takes a 12-gauge shotgun and blasts his mother and daddy in the face. James Lewis, his daddy of 38 years old, Lillian, his 35-year-old mother, and he said when they caught him, he's trying to live out the story he saw in Natural Born Killers. Natural Born Killers is a perverted, sick, demon-possessed movie. If you let yourself watch stuff like that, you ought to be around this altar asking God to forgive you and clean the trash out of your heart. It's dirty, it's stinking, it's rotten, it's low down. Slimy. His friend said, I wish I had the guts to do what Jason did. Menace to society. It's about a bunch of black people killing black people and other people, and it's just a murder, 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 murder. March 16, 1994, Sean Sword, 17-year-old, Pat Witherwax, 18 years old, shot and killed a clerk, went out and robbed a florist, then went and robbed a pizza place, acting out what they saw on Menace to Society. Child's Play 3, Pet Cemetery, on and on and on and on, we could name them. Now, between 1980s and now, juvenile crime is up for over 150% again. You know how much old Slut Stone made off that movie Basic Instinct? You know how much the movie produced? $400 million. We bring the charge tonight that the film industry based in New York City and California, brother, is polluting the minds and souls of young people. They're hooked into the devil and they're doing it for a payday. They live high. Let's look at another part of the media. Video games. When I was growing up, we had pinball machines and foosball. And we just played those little games, and it was fun to mash the buttons and knock the pinball around. You know what they have now? September the 13th, 1993. A new game was introduced in the world, Mortal Kombat. Right behind it was a game called Street Fighter 2. USA Today, a wicked newspaper who is anti-Bible, made the church that Mortal Kombat is a knockdown dragout for the body and soul of America's kids. Street Fighter sold 8 million copies. The object of Mortal Kombat is to kick, punch, stomp the opponent. And when you do, there's a weird little voice comes out that says, "Well done." When the blood squirts out of the opponent, another deep voice says, "Finish him." And gives you the privilege of murdering the man. They are desensitizing young people to what murder really is. Mortal Kombat made $65 million the first 2 weeks that it was out. You say it's harmless. Paul Van Sheet, 16-year-old from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a student at Coconut Creek High School, stabbed another student 22 times with a steak knife because he thought that it would advance him to another level in that game. And what he didn't realize, that the more you see that game, that the more the lines between fantasy and reality are blurred. And brother, the first thing you know, you don't know what's real and what's fake. You don't know what's actually taking place and what is fantasy. The Night Trad shows a game of hooded men brutally murdering lingerie-clad schoolgirls. Who would think up a game that called a bunch of hooded men murdering schoolgirls and wallowing in their blood? Video games today are an attack of the devil. You parents better watch out for it. You say, what's wrong with playing a game? Nothing if it don't make you think it's all right to murder somebody. But let me bring up another issue. And this is hot on the trail of every one of us right now. It's what we call the internet. Online services now are being used by high technology and have been a hold of the devil. It's another one of the devil's devices. It started out in 1969. Isn't that a coinky dinky? The same year man stepped foot on the moon atop of the church. The same year the first rock concert was started. The same year the Satanic Bible was printed, 1969. The same year that they sing about in the song, like Stairway to Heaven and Hotel California and all those about, we haven't had that spirit here since 1969. The net, as they call it, the info superhighway, the infobond, cyberspace, whatever you want to call it, began. It began with four computers to monitor military events, such as war breaking out. They first called it DARPANET, then MILNET, Natural Science Museum. They used it. They linked to five supercomputers today, and today, it is a global network of smaller networks, and 30 million people use it, whereas there were 5,000 on it 10 years ago. And 1 million new every month. You say, what's scary about the internet? Jake Baker, a 20-year-old student of University of Michigan, January the 9th, 1995. We'll just take 1 month, August 1995. Posted a story on his computer about fantasy with a female student and gave her name and talked about putting gas on her and setting her on fire. They can send sound, photos, video, and software, and all can be sent online. James High, 29 years old. He developed a relationship with a 14-year-old girl over the internet. They finally met at a motel. He raped her and destroyed her life as she knew it. Bobby Etchinson's 28 years old, raped a 12-year-old girl in another motel. She claims she's 17 as they corresponded on the internet. 10-year-old was caught hooking into the most vile pornography that people can imagine. Torture and rape and on to feed the minds of sinners. The devil's found another way in. Music. Music today. Music today is telling young people something. What's it telling them? 3 million crimes a year or on school campuses each year. 1/4 of our nation's major urban school system, you know, you have to use metal detectors. 1/5 of all violent crime in America is caused by juveniles. 25,000 Americans are murdered every year. Rap music tells you to live it up. Women are nothing. And listen, brother, did you realize that they say it's only music? But between 1984 and 1989, 5 years of rap music, black young people murdering black young people tripled. Tripled. Listen, they don't sing about shooting cops. They sing about killing. Listen, if you say anything about it, they say censorship. We don't believe in it. You don't have no right to tell us what to sing. I'll tell you what, it's time some judges in America got tough and said, we're not going to have this. We're not going to put... It is wrong to suggest somebody to go out and kill somebody. God, have mercy on us. It's wrong. Drugs. Drugs. People say it's getting less and less. You're crazy. We've never had trouble with drugs like we have tonight. I have two young men sitting down here tonight somewhere. Gave their testimony this evening. That much of destroying their life with drugs. Young man's here tonight. I talked with my office the other day. I don't guess he'd care if I told this. He's 19 years old. He said he began using drugs when he was 12. I asked him, what caused you to first use drugs? He said, music. Music definitely played a part. Led me. It led me. You see, anywhere you have rock and roll, you're going to wind up having drugs and sex. They all three of them hang around each other. You ain't going to have one without having the other two. Sooner or later. Why do you preach on it all the time? Because where one of them is, the other two show up. That's one demon. It's triplets. And they all three wind up together. Music led him into drugs at 12 years old. I said, where'd you get your first joint of marijuana? He said, I used to get it before school over here. Junior high, 12 years old. Somebody give it to him. 15, 16, he began smoking crack cocaine. 15, 16. $25 worth of crack make you feel good 10 minutes. And let me tell you what they don't tell you, young people. Here's normal. When you get on drugs, you get high. Boy, it feels good. When the drug wears off, though, you don't stop at normal. You wind up down here. And I've heard them say, I felt like I was in a hole. I couldn't get out. And they said, every time I come down, I tell myself, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I'll never do this again. This is awful. This is torment, torture. I can't stand it. It's torment. I'll never do it again. And just as quick as that feeling wears away, they're starving for more drug. Now the great drug is methamphetamine. They call it meth. You know it as crank. It is proven the most highly addictive drug known to mankind. Now, I'm talking about the devil finding a way in. The best way in the world to get demon possessed is to get your brain kicked in neutral. I had a friend of mine tell me before he got saved, he was up here on the mountain And he used to get high and he would send that. And he said one day, he said the tape player began to talk to him. A voice came out of it and began to tell him. And he said there was a knock at his door. And he said he started to get up and answer the door. And the voice spoke through and said, "Don't go in the door." He said the voice, a door knocked again. He said the voice said, "Don't go answer the door." You know what he's doing, young people? When you get on drugs, the devil starts talking to you and appearing to you. This young man got on drugs. Wound up in a motel. Delirious, out of his mind. And he said, the devil came in. And he said, when that devil came in, he said there was something going in and out of him. And they could see it. And he wasn't the only one seeing it. There's others seeing it. And he said, he went to the mirror. And he looked in the mirror. And when he looked in the mirror, he saw his face. But he's got real short hair. And his hair was long. And he said his face just changed. And he had 666 over his head right there. There's somebody in that room with him. He got hooked up. Same way that music, same way that internet, same way those movies. See, in that movie, Natural Born Killers, that the devil coming through. He's coming through. He's coming through, kids. He's coming through. There's never been a time when the devil's stronger than he is now. There's never been a time when there's so many young people who's had their lives ruined as now. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, for heaven's sake, get saved. If you're here tonight and you're not right, get right, get right. He's bigger than you are. He's more powerful than you are. He'll take you to hell. You better listen. He said he used to listen to the rock group Slayer all the time, and he said, they'll talk to you. You know what Slayer stands for? It stands for Satan laughs as you eternally rot. And he said, they tell you how to open up your body for demons to come in you. But thank God he had some family members praying for him. And God reached down and delivered him out of it. He's here tonight. Raise your hand over here. Raise your hand. Right there he is. And he's got a long way to go, and y'all pray that God will just help him up. Thank God for a young man who'll say, I'm going to let the devil destroy my life. Some of you kids, if the truth is known what you're involved in, it would scare. You say, preacher, I know what's wrong with some of you. You think it can't work for me. I'm happy for all these young people, and they're up there singing the old story and all that. But he said it. You say it can't work for me. That's what a lot of people, that's what the devil's got you believing. We got a lady here tonight. I don't know if she'd care for me telling this. My daughter told me a while ago, and I just thought the Lord might want me to tell it. She said that this time last year, the week after Easter, there's a bunch of people running around here trying to have a big party. And they got to looking for a big place to have a party, and they went all over Marion. And they couldn't find a motel room to party in because of this youth rally. Glory to God. Amen. They said all the motels was booked. Amen. What's going on over at that crazy church? They took the whole town to that. Don't you know this town don't know something going on here? Said they went all over the place to have a big party with drugs, and they were all drinking or whatever. And guess what? God got a hold of her. She's here tonight. One year ago, out looking for a motel with a bunch of friends. Now here tonight, come to church. Where you at? Where you at, Rachel? There she is. See that hand going up right there? Ask her, can God do something for you? Yes, He can. Ask Him, can God do something for Him? Yes, He can. Ask her, can God do something for you? Yes, He can. You've got to understand, the devil's powerful, but God's more powerful. You've got to understand. what's the devil going to do? He's going to do everything in his power to destroy you. You say, what's God going to do to Hollywood? He's going to grab it and throw it in hell one of these days. I wouldn't want to be on that side. Now the truth is tonight, there's only one way. There's only one hope for you tonight. You listen to me, girls? You hear me? There's only one hope for you. You have got to put your trust in Jesus Christ. When God looks at us tonight, He sees everything wrong. I mean, when people look at us, when God looks at us, we got a lot of faults. But God will look at Him and say, I find no fault in Him. What's going to happen one day? There's going to be another courtroom. And this time the judge is not going to be crooked. And this time the lawyers ain't going to be allowed to lie. The truth is going to come out. And there's only one that'll stand at that judgment. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around, please.